Introduce it by saying, having taught now for 8 years in elementary school and high school, now Baruch Hashem to have the opportunity to teach in this yeshiva, I'll tell you something that I think, and again I can't speak on behalf of the other rebbeim, but I think people who certainly are interested in helping you grow in Torah, be it rebbeim, be it parents, be it friends, one of the saddest things I think for, again certainly for myself as a rebbe to sometimes watch, is when a student starts to fall apart. You have someone who is inspired, let's say comes back from Eretz Yisrael, has certain values, certain commitments, whether it's in learning, whether it's in davening, whether it's just across the board in the Avodas Hashem. And then slowly things start to change. Maybe they start to change the way they dress, maybe they start to be less careful about certain mitzvot, maybe they start to hang out with different people. And you see someone who at one point you looked at and you were so proud of. Not that you don't love them now. You still care about them, you still want to help, but you see that something that they were once feeling, that spiritual charge or energy they were once feeling, is starting to dissipate. And it's a very, very sad thing to watch. And you see someone, again, who is so on fire with his Avodas Hashem, and coming to Seder, and coming to Davin, and coming to Shirim, and then slowly, and again, sometimes there are legitimate excuses, and sometimes there are not such legitimate excuses, but it's a very, very painful thing to watch. I heard an explanation once from the Brisker Rav. Couldn't find it in print anywhere. On a pasuk in this week's parsha, "Vatiru es shikutzayim v'esgilulayim eitz va'even kesef ezav v'sharim b'hem." Pasuk describes the Jewish people are going to be passing through different territories, different people who have all sorts of avodah zarah, shikutzayim, gilulayim, all sorts of abominable practices, strange things, eitz va'even, idols made out of wood, idols made out of stone, kesef ezav. Idols made out of silver, idols made out of gold. Be careful you don't get caught up in this. That's what the Torah tells us in Parsha Nitzavim. But I heard an explanation from the Brisker Rav once, where he described a downward descent, this downward spiral that sometimes happens. He says this pasuk is referring to one person. There's one individual who looks at a certain practice and he says, this is disgusting, this is abominable, I would never have anything to do with that. Shikutzayim v'gilulayim. It's not me. I would never. I remember a friend of mine, when I was in YU, I remember someone came back from Shana Bet from a particular yeshiva, and he was so spiritually sensitive that something had happened which was really not so offensive at all. It was really quite mild. And I remember he was like so uncomfortable with it. And I'm thinking like, wow, you're so spiritually sensitive that something so not offensive is seen as something questionable by you. And I think about that friend today, where he is today, and I can assure you he's not holding there anymore. So there was something that was one point in his life. It was shikutzayim gilulayim. It was disgusting. It was abominable. It's not me. It's not for a Torah Jew. It's not for a person who's growing. And then over time, what happens, says the Brisker Rav? Eitz ve'even. It's not desirable, but it's not so repulsive anymore. It becomes a little more neutral. Eitz ve'even. It's stone. It's wood. And over time, unfortunately, what happens? Next thing you know, the thing that you swore you would never succumb to, that yitzhar that you got rid of, you defeat it, and it was behind you. All of a sudden, it comes back, and it's shining. It's kesef ezav. It's so tempting. It's so desirable to you. And you're struggling back at a place where you were long ago. A battle that seemingly you defeated long ago, but you let down your guard. And it went from shikutzayim to gilulayim, eitz ve'even to kesef ezav. Famous experiment that they talk about. I don't know if anyone really does this experiment, or they just talk about this in psychology classes. An experiment where you take a boiling pot of water and you throw a frog into the pot. What happens? The frog will hop right out. It'll never stay there. He understands it's burning, it's dangerous, it's harmful to me. The frog will leap right out. What happens if you take a pot and you put the frog in it? I make sure you got to tie it down, make sure it doesn't jump around. And you slowly raise the fire, right? So the water gets a little hotter and a little hotter and a little hotter and a little hotter and a little hotter until what? Until that Nebuchadnezzar, that poor frog, will stay in the pot, not realizing how hot the water has become, that'll stay there until he dies. Because he doesn't realize that things are changing. He doesn't realize that this environment is becoming dangerous to me. Right? In life, there are things around us that if we let down our guard, then we could fall apart. And it's a very, very sad thing to see. What's the response? How do you counter this? How do you stop this downward spiral that the Brisker Rav is describing in this pasuk? So I think the answer is, the only way to fight back is to do just the opposite. Is to ensure that I commit myself to a life of spiritual growth. That I'm constantly saying, not how do I stay exactly where I am, in this neutral kind of way, but to push yourself to move forward. And it's a Mefurish Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. You don't have to quote fancy Svar. You don't have to quote anything. They tell stories, a simple Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Udalo Mosif Yosef. If you're not adding, by definition, you're subtracting. Because if we're not pushing ourselves to move forward, the downward pull of Olam Hazeh, the downward pull of the Yetzer Hara, is so powerful that by definition you're going to lose if you're not committed to moving forward. And it doesn't have to be, you know, major things, but just a general attitude that I'm a Jew who's interested in growing as a Jew. I want to be a little bit closer to Hashem and His Torah today than I was yesterday. That can make all the difference in the world. Parshas Re'e, beginning of Parshas Re'e, Torah tells us, Re'e Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Bracha Uklal. Hashem says, I present to you today two options. One pathway leads to blessing, and one pathway leads to curse. Say the Mefarshim, there's nothing in between? There's nothing in between a life of blessing and a life of curse? What about that, so to speak, neutral zone that a person likes to, sometimes very comfortable in that neutral zone? Says the Svarno, listen to the words of the Svarno. Hey, bitu re'e shelo yeh in yonechal ofen beinoni. You cannot be an average person. It's not an option for a Jew. The Jewish people are too big to walk this path called beinoni. I'm just thinking now, it reminds me of the Gemara in Megillah. It says the Jewish people are compared to the stars, compared to the dust. When we rise to the stars, and when we fall, we can get really bad. You can't be a beinoni, says the Svarno. Kemoshu hu aminag barov. That's how most people live their life, no? Most people in the street, they're happy. You have this concept called the average Joe. I like to be the average Joe. I'm very happy. The American dream. I got my wife. I got my kids, the dog, the white picket fence, you know, the car, the house, right? Very nice. And it's a nice picture. It's not a bad picture. But for a Jew, that's very, it's overly simplistic. That can't be the way we live our life. Ki amnam anochi nosein lefneichem hayom bracha uklala. Ve'heim shnei akitzvos. By Jew, we're extreme people. We live within the extremes. We can't stay in that very neutral beinoni type of zone. We either move towards bracha or we move towards klala. And that's the choice, says the Svarno, that we have to make. If you choose bracha, it'll be atzlacha yoser min ha'aspik. If it's bracha, it's going to be kula bracha. And if you don't choose that path, by definition, like the Brisker Rav told us, it will be a downward spiral. This downward descent into Rachmana Litzlan, very horrible things. So I'll conclude with a comment from a lesser known sefer called the Karban Ha'ani. Karban Ha'ani was Rav Yaakov Katina, he was a Rav in Chust. And he writes in this week's parash, he says, that was Moshe's Musar. That's Moshe's lesson to Bnei Yisrael in his opening words of this week's parash. We know from Sefer Zechariah, from the Navi Zechariah, that the difference between a human being and a malach is that a human being is called a holich. A malach is an omed. A malach stands in one place. A malach doesn't grow, it doesn't change as time goes on. A malach's level is permanent. Right? Yerushalmi and Bracha says, when we stand, during Shmona Esrei, we stand with our feet together, Raglehem Revel Yeshar, it's based on the Pasuk and Navi. And the Yerushalmi says that the angels don't have joints. They can't bend their knees, they can't jump to a higher level. Their level is determined and they stay that way. What about a person? A person is described as a holich. The avodah of a Jew is to be a holich. What does it mean to be a holich? Someone who's going. Where am I going exactly? There are a lot of different, like we were just saying a minute ago, I was talking to someone, right? There are many ways that one can go in Judaism. There are many legitimate paths to Rabbona Shalom. But the bottom line is I'm a holich, I'm interested in going. And the Karban Ha'ani brings proof, he says, I'll show you. The tzaddikim, the greatest people, walk that path. By David HaMelech, what does it say? Es halich lefnei Hashem bar tzachai. I want to be a holich in the Arts of Sechaim. I want to be someone who's moving forward. By Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is told, his halech lefanav. Move, keep going. Because if you're not moving forward, you're falling apart. What about Bilam? Bilam HaRasha, where he's going to do negative. By Yichar Af Hashem ki holich. Hashem says, halavai Bilam should just stand still. Halavai shouldn't be so quick to run around cursing people. Hashem's angry that he's a holich. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, explains the Karban Ha'ani, says Moshe Rabbeinu, the opening words of this week's parasha, Atem nitzavim hayom. What's the problem with the Jewish people? Nitzavim, you're standing still. You're standing still. And we know hayom, of course, is a reference to Rosh Hashanah, right? The great day that's very much upon us. Atem nitzavim hayom. You come to Rosh Hashanah, or in general, forget Rosh Hashanah for a minute, just in general in our lives. Atem nitzavim hayom. Moshe says you're stuck. You're stuck in your place. That's not a very good way to live your life. Because if you do that, if you're not growing, by definition you're descending. And contrast it, says the Karban Ha'ani, compare it now to the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Next week's parsha, by Yelech Moshe. Until the last day of his life, Moshe's going, and he's pushing himself, and he's achieving, and he's setting new goals for himself. So Mirtz Hashem, we should take this very, very heavy and serious mussar from the Brisker of Tahar. If it could start off as something and make your own cheshbon nefesh, we all have to make that cheshbon nefesh. Things that we said we would never do, things that we thought, yetzirah we thought we left behind, which are now, all of a sudden, they become a little more neutral, and then they become a little bit more tempting, and we're disappointed with ourselves. We have to stop ourselves and catch ourselves, and realize that the way to respond to this is not atem nitzavim hayom, as Moshe is critical of Bnei Yisrael, but to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rabban Shel Yisrael, the great leader of our people, who was a holy until his final day. Shkach.